morning with a bit of a sore throat. And as the day has progressed here already, I'm feeling it a little more and more. So we'll see how far I can get here. We should be fine. So, interestingly enough, we finished up 1 John last week, and I was pondering where to go for 3 weeks or so until Advent begins. We start, and I had a few ideas. And then I don't know what, I was just looking, and my eyes came upon 2 John, and they're very short letters. And I started reading, and they're really neat. And again, a couple of those letters that don't get a lot of attention, they're very short, little notes. You know, almost like I scribbled on the back of something. So we're going to look at, in the next 3 weeks, 2 and 3 John. And then we can say that we went through the 1, 2, 3 John series, and we know them and love them. So today, our reading will be from 2 John, verses 1 through 6. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you as a new command, but one we have heard from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Rings familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, these letters are interesting. The as you come into 1 John, you see in his introduction, is again a quick letter, identifies himself as the elder. There are always those who want to doubt or think, oh, is this really John? But as you look at the content, and again, you're so familiar, these words, and so it's pretty sure this is John. The chosen lady, well, not sure what that is exactly. Could have been a specific person. Some feel that maybe it's a reference to the church as a whole, as the bride and that, and it could be something there, but again, not exactly sure, but that's okay. 1 and 2 John are really follow-ups. They're like checkups. You know, if you went and got your car a major overhaul, and then he says, well, after a few weeks, please come in and, you know, we'll get the oil changed, make sure everything's all right. Or, you know, I just got my cast off, and he said, well, 3 weeks, let's come back and check it, make sure everything's going right. And hopefully I'll have some more motion and he'll do things. But we want to, it's a follow-up. And again, Pastor John, with his pastor's heart and his concern for his people, wants to just give them a few reminders. And it's interesting that all these letters, you know, we use them. So as we read 2 John and 3 John, we're going to refer back to 1 John. If 1 John was the fullness of what he's referring to, we can go then interpret and understand 2 and 3 John in a better way. But the pastor here, the pastor John, is concerned about maintaining faith, of pressing on, of continuing. And that is our concern too, isn't it? We have that concern. You know, we talked about being forgetful people and the cares of this world and the problems, the sufferings, whatever may happen, can wear on us. And in that weariness, we may question or have doubts or struggle. And John wants to encourage and lift up and strengthen in all these things. So the first part of 2 John here that we read is, I think John is seeking to clearly and simply encourage the believer and give them assurance with their relationship with God himself. Because that's the great question in life, isn't it? How do we know God? Is there a God? How do we know him? How do we know what he wants? And if we figure out what he wants, how do we do it? How do we live this out? At the very basic, bare bones idea of life, that's what it is about. These questions. Now, whether or not we recognize it or not, this is the human struggle. How do we live in a way that is fruitful, productive, and in step with what God wants us? And so in very, very simple terms, I think John was seeking to give us really just two primary priorities, I'll call them. Two pillars that undergird and strengthen and give a basis to really everything that you can look at in the Christian life. If you want to have a quick, easy test, a simple outline of what it is to be a Christian, how should I live in your decision making, day to day? How do I respond to this person? How do I spend my money? What do I do in this situation? You ask these questions. John kind of narrows down to two simple and profound priorities. And that's what we're looking at today. Priority number one, truth. Priority number one is truth. You see in the beginning here that John says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. The idea of walking here is life. Picture it as, you know, we're on a path and every day we get up and we go on farther down that path. It is continually, it's steadfastly. How do we live out our lives? And John is pleased to hear how some of his people are doing. Earlier in his greeting, he says in verse 2 that the truth which lives in us, so we see that idea that truth is something that we have, that God has given us. In his sovereign will, he opened our eyes and we understand truth, and so it's in us. And then also, in verse 4, the ongoing responsibility that we have to walk in it. This is an active word that we live day by day, moment by moment, walking, acknowledging, understanding what the truth is, and living in that. It is a Christian's unavoidable duty to walk in, to actively live in light of the truth. This is not an optional thing. It is the primary ingredient in discipleship, in growing God. It's a command. You have a picture of submission, of humility, of walking and following in this truth. I had one author that I read says, the truth of God, revealed supremely in the living word, recorded unerringly in the written word, provides the route by which the Christian is traveling from earth to heaven. I like that. I like how it covers he's given us in the truth the living word, which is Jesus. We see supremely. That's the ultimate truth. We see that in his word that he's laid out for us to understand more and more and more. And in that we can make our way. It's our map, so to speak. You're not going to take a long journey without a map. Or even a short journey. You know, the idea that's common with a lot of people is, you know, whatever path you take, they all kind of end up the same place. That God will just get you there. And this is not that. This is a specific map. I'm not going to get to Boscobel by traveling to Madison. We need truth. And that is what John wants us to understand here. Absorb it. See it. Ultimately in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So is there any question in your mind? Again, as a broad base understanding what truth is, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, his life. What did he do? What did he say? How did he act? If you have any question in your life about how you should act or what you should do or how you should respond, look to Jesus. He will show us what to do. But then the second priority, we see that in verse 5, he shifts gears a little bit. He says, now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, which again we hear from First John, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that, there it is, folks, we love one another. And so priority number two is love. Love one another. Love one another. We've seen over and over and over in John, but throughout Scripture, that these pillars of truth and love are always together. They're intertwined like a rope that you need to be strong. They're two sides of a coin. You can't just have one side. You have both always. I think of the, again, you know, I'm not getting all mystical on you, but the, you know, there's the yin-yang symbol. It's a Buddhist or Eastern religion thing, I think. But it is that picture of two things that are always together, chasing, you know, they're one thing and yet two, and it's that kind of a picture. You know, again, take it with you will, it's fine. But they're together. And you can't separate them. They're always intertwined. And what this does is it protects us. It protects us from promoting love to the extent that we have no sense of grounding or truth in itself. It protects us from just this love apart from knowing God. You know, it's all the people say, if I just love people and take care of things, it'll be all good. I don't need God. But no, we need the truth also. And the truth is Jesus. In fact, if you look back, I mean, 1 John hit this over and over again. So like in chapter 2, verse 7, for instance. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. There we hear it. Which you have had since from the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. The truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him that makes him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Truth is light. It shows us the way. If we're on that path, we got the map, but we can't see anything, it's more difficult. And so we have that flip side of that coin is love. And so if we love each other, you are walking light. A little bit ahead of that then, in chapter 3, verse 14, John said, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. See, there's both sides of the coin. Both of them together. We know truth, we know Jesus, and we love. And that love spills out in everything that we do. Any question you have of a response to a harsh word, or should I help this person or not? Love. What would love tell you to do? It's an action. It's who we are as people. Chapter 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. See how important that is. If you don't love other people, guess what? God is not in you. That's the bottom reality we're talking about here. In verses 20 and 21 of verse 4, John said, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And we saw it all through 1 John, and now Pastor John is reminding the people again in 2 John here, this is what it's about, people. This should be your heartbeat. This should be what you think about day and night, all the time, in whatever situation you're in. How do I love? It is a conscious decision of our will. It is a thing to be constantly renewed, reaffirmed. And the reason that truth and love are intertwined is this question always of not just do we know it, but do we do it? Are we doing love? And if we're not doing love, then we don't know love. Now, verse 6 is interesting. Some have accused John of a circular argument here, right? And that's what he says. I mean, look at the verse. It says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to commands. And as you've heard from the beginning, this command is that you walk in love. So he's saying the same thing over. So obey the commands, love each other. And if you love each other, you're obeying the command. And if you obey the command, you're loving each other. See, it's a circular argument. But that's how it works. To say you love God means you're going to obey him. And if you want to obey God, if that's your desire, Lord, what do you want me to do? If that is your question in your heart, to really know him, to ask, what do you want from me, God? Love. Love people. It's fairly easy, you know. Now, life can be complicated, you know, and that can work out in lots of ways. But we just keep that as the heartbeat and the basis for everything, you will do well. And it's interesting here, in a small way, in a nerdy kind of way, you know, verse 5, it says the command, this is the command, singular, I'm not reading a new command, but verse 6 expresses it as a plural, commands. And I think what's going on there is command is kind of the sum of all of it. It all comes under this one thing, love. And then commands are that big sum of love working out in every aspect of our life. How do we love in our relationships with our spouses and our children and our neighbors? How do I respond in love in my workplace? How do I respond in love when I'm in school or in an athletic contest? You know, football game, and someone does a dirty cheap shot on you, or basketball, and they poke you in the eye. How do you respond? And the response is love. What does that look like? We work out, but that is what is going on. You know, if you look in Mark chapter 12, Jesus teaches pretty clearly on this, and I will take the time to look at it because it is an important one. In Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28, Jesus says this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all commandments, which one is the most important? We've heard this, right? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. That's it. It's love. Love God and love people. How do you live as a Christian? Love God and love people. 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 In Romans chapter 13, Paul says a similar thing in that really love fulfills the law. All this stuff comes down to that simple idea. Simple. Love. And so we see here, I think, how love and obedience to truth are inseparable. They are an inseparable priority in the Christian life as we walk and live day to day. But then, what of the struggles, the inevitable struggles that we experience in walking day to day, right? Can anyone here say, I love perfectly every day? My every thought is pure love. My every response to my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my friend, my spouse is pure love. No, we struggle. So what do we do with that? How do we live this out is the question, right? Now, again, the answer I think comes in understanding both sides of the coin. See, because if we separate obedience from love, all right, I'm just going to obey. By force of my will, I obey the rules. You know, there's folks out there, they like rules. They're rule keepers, you know. I appreciate rule keepers. I have to admit, sometimes I like to bend things. I remember I was with a friend in Minneapolis, and he had a couple small sons, and we took him to Minnehaha Falls in Minneapolis. It was frozen over, so it was really cool. And there's these stairs that go down to it, and they were frozen over. And they had a sign there that said, you know, close the season, do not go down these stairs. I went straight down those stairs, right? I said, well, you know, and this guy, and I so appreciate him, he says, no, it says I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, you know, be that example to my son. And, okay, right? So but you obey the rules, right? And in doing that, I'll be okay. But the problem is that if you're just focusing on rules and doing them, eventually it can harden into just like a grinding duty. I'm going to get through this day. I'm going to get to the end of it. I did it. I'm fine. Okay. I'm going to keep the rules. See, so that's why we need the love side of things. So essential this is to have a relationship with God is to love Him. We have to love God. Right? We love God. Do you love God? I mean, and not just say, oh, yeah, I mean, cool. But as a person, as a reality, that's why God gives us so many examples for us to try to understand, right? How do we love God? Like in a marriage, right? That's how, do you think of God in those ways? Do you go through your day and just wistfully think, oh, Lord, I just love you, thank you, right? Because I often do that with my wife, you know? Right? It happens. Remember when you first met your spouse, you had one, and all you could do was like think about him all the time. And he's, I embarrass my wife here, but I would call her, and then my only thought was, when can I call her again? And I call her at work. She goes, Stevie, you called me like 20 minutes ago. I know, but I just, okay, I'm fine. Right? I thought about her all the time. Because I was falling in love with this woman. That's the kind of thing. Can we think of God in those terms? In love. And if a relationship with God is primarily love, then the rules aren't burdensome, right? 1 John 5:3 tells us that. I'll read it. 1 John chapter 5, we just had this a couple weeks ago. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Why are they not burdensome? Because love. Remember when, who was it? Not Jacob. It's Jacob that went to, who married Rachel? Well, it was Jacob, right? Yeah, so he had to go, and find a wife. And he loved Rachel. But then there was the sister Leah. And then Laban says, well, if you work for me 7 years, you can have her. And what did he say? 7 years? Doesn't matter. I'm fine, man. It's all good. And then even when he got tricked, he had to go another 7 years. It didn't matter to him. Why? He's in love. Any price is worth it for him. That is our relationship to the rules. God's commands are not meant to be burdensome, right? People struggle with a Christian sexual ethic, right? Why do I have to wait? Why should it only be in marriage? Why does it say, you know, marriage is man and all these things? Why? It seems so repressive and harsh and all these things. And God says, no, it's love. It's all about love. God is showing us His faithfulness to us. How important that we are to Him is reflected in how we treat each other in these things. It's about love. It is about love. And if we truly, if we find ourselves struggling with a rule, I know God wants me to forgive that person, but I'm not liking it, right? What's the solution? Look to God. Nourish your love for God. You think about then, what do we do if this love is weak, right? That's what we're talking about here. If the love is weak and we're struggling with it, how do we increase that capacity? And that is to, well, how do you increase your capacity for love for anybody? Spend time with them. Get to know them more. Remind yourself maybe why you fell in love in the first place. You go to the truth of God's word. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, John told us this. We love because he first loved us. That's what this is about. This table is about love. If we forget, if we're struggling, if we're concerned, we have doubts, fears, this reminds us of what God did for us. What Jesus did, and that was to die for us. So we go to the truth of God's word. Read things like the assurance of the cross and forgiveness and just the wonder of who God is. We have to constantly feed our minds and our souls with the affirmations that God's word gives us. That's why we come together like this. So you read places like in Jeremiah 31:3. God loves us and wants to be with us. Or Hebrews 12, or Romans 8, Ephesians 1. The reading I did today was from 1 Peter 1. These are the things we have to hang on to. Read them, memorize them, go over them over and over again. You know, I'm a broken record with Romans 8, but the benefit I got from just memorizing that one chapter is this very thing, that when I'm struggling, I can just know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm an heir of God and fellow heir with Christ. There's nothing. Height, depth, storms, trials, tribulation, whatever it is, nothing can separate from the love of God. And as we understand those things more and more and more, if we're doubtful, we just repeat them. Say, Lord, I know this is truth. This is truth. And then we experience the love. This is good medicine. And if you're sick, what does the doctor say? You know, take this. You know, and maybe, you know, three times a day after every meal, whatever it takes. Take it more and more and more. You know, get the vitamin C, get the vitamins, whatever it takes. It's like, you know, my cholesterol medicine, right? You take it every day. I don't feel bad, but I need it. You take it. You want to have it in you. Take it until the symptoms go away. And then after the symptoms go away, don't say, okay, I'm done. Maintain it. Maintain it like vitamins. Keep it in your mind every day. And so we come to this. It's Pastor John and his love for his congregation and his concern. We saw there in chapter 4, he said that it's his great joy to find some of your children walking in truth. There's always that concern of those who are struggling or maybe not, and John wants to make sure that they understand this. And so we put everything to this test. The two priorities, truth and love. Truth that we see fully in Jesus Christ. Love that we see fully in Jesus Christ. And in these things, there's no sacred secular divide. We don't want to compartmentalize our lives in any way. Everything for the Christian falls onto these pillars, these priorities. Everything. In 2 days, many of you are going to vote. Your voting falls under this. Truth and love. Not only who you would vote for, but in how you relate to those that vote maybe differently than you. Truth and love. There's no division in our lives of these things. There's no work church. In church, I love people. In work, I hate people. No. Everything is truth and love. Everything. Love can be firm. Love can be confronting. But it's still love. Okay? can't have love and violence. You can't have love and hate in the same sentence. You cannot. We must love. This morning I was looking over some things and once in a while, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes just even devotionally, if you have I think everybody should have a hymnal in their house. Okay, if you don't, get one. Because sometimes maybe you're reading the word, and it's like, just pull out a song and read it. Read it. And today I was flipping it, and I don't know why, but I was there, and I looked at the first song in our hymnals is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And just listen to these words. Listen for these priorities, truth and love. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow and flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. That whole song, truth and love. This is how we live. This is what it is to be a Christian. So I would challenge you, I would beg you, I would exhort you, whatever verb you need, to live and think and prioritize and commit yourselves to the truth that's already in you. And then to live a life of love this week. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I am grateful for you and your love. Lord, we love because you loved us. Lord, help us to love. For I pray that every person we come across this next week, every single one, would in some way experience your love from us. To your glory, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.